Okay. Roll call, Sabelle.
Commissioner Sean Potok.
Paddock.
Paddock.
Yeah, present Paddock. And present and unmuted.
Commissioner Jose Buranda.
Present.
Commissioner Petra Gable. Commissioner Stan Heisner. Vice Chair David Hamilton.
Present.
Chair Matthew Loney.
Present. Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Abrams.
I'm here.
That will be it.
Okay, thank you. And so, as I mentioned, we had a packet went out electronically, and that included both the agenda for tonight and our meeting minutes. Do I have a hopefully everyone's had a chance to review the meeting minutes. Are there any corrections to be noted for that? Okay, not hearing. Can I have a motion to adopt the minutes?
Dave Hamilton, I make a motion to adopt the minutes as presented.
I okay. Second it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Perfect. Now we are moving right along, and I see that Commissioner Gabriel has joined us, so we'll note that in the minutes. Commissioner, can you hear us?
I can.
Oh, perfect. Good. We were doing a little electronic checking beforehand. So that gets us to item 4 of our agenda, our work session. And so with that, I'll turn it over to staff.
Great. And I think we'll also note we have a new commissioner joining us today as well. I didn't know if Commissioner Abrams. And so just welcome to the Planning Commission. And before we start, did you want to, maybe we want to do some introductions, Chair Nolan, and just so we could probably do that. Maybe do you want to start and we can do a round robin, and then maybe Commissioner Abrams, you could tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of why you wanted to join the Planning Commission. We'd love to just begin to get to know you.
Okay, well, this is Alan Abrams, and thank you very much for having me join this committee. I am retired. I've lived in Mill Creek for about 28 years. We raised our son, and we've lived here all that time. I am an attorney by trade. My background is in commercial and government contracting. I've done a tremendous amount of work in policy-related activities associated with the building of infrastructure and various types of large public buildings. So that gives you a little introduction of who I am.
Okay, I will happily introduce myself to both Alan and everybody else. So I'm Matt Nolan, our chair. I've been on the Planning Commission now for about a decade, and in the city of Mill Creek for now it's a quarter century. So, my background is I'm a licensed engineer, a licensed wastewater operator, a professional project manager. And so I have a background in both operations and engineering for large municipal agencies. We'll go down. Commissioner Paddock, we'll just go down our roll call list.
Hi there, Alan. Sean Paddock. I live here in the Parks neighborhood. We've been here in Mill Creek in this neighborhood for about 8 years now. Let's see, I joined the Planning Commission. I want to say it was in September of last year, of 21-ish. My background, 30 years in finance, strategy, and technology. I work for Dell Technologies. We do most of the IT for the Boeing company, and I manage the business relationship between Dell Technologies and the Boeing company.
Technology helper. So, Commissioner Buranda, you want to introduce yourself?
Hi there. Yeah. Hi, Alan. My name's Jose. And so I've been on the Planning Commission since January of 2021. I've been living in Milk Creek for about almost 10 years later in the fall. And then I have my background in the aerospace industry as an engineer.
Oh, thank you. Commissioner Gabel.
Hi, welcome, Alan. Glad to have you on board. I am new as a planning commissioner. I joined in April of last year, and I'm still learning the ropes. I'm a policy analyst and have a background working with property management, homelessness, police programs, and affordable housing, among others. I'm also a freelance writer and a communications manager for a nonprofit and a naval reservist.
Thank you. Vice Chair Hambleton.
Hi, welcome, Alan. I'm Dave Hambleton. I'm a retired Boeing employee, spent 40 years there. I worked in the facilities organization, and I'm retired now, and I spend a lot of time on boards and commissions. I'm on about six different things at this point in time. I've been on the Planning Commission for about a year or so, I think. I don't know the exact date. And I'm also on the Design Review Board for the City of Mill Creek. And my Planning Commission experience, I worked with Clay and other people at the county. I had two tours of duty at the County Planning Commission, starting in the early 80s for about 12 years, and then 6 years later on. So I've got about 18 years of Planning Commission experience at the county level.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. So, and we have a number of staff here today. So we'll start off with our esteemed guest. Chair, is it Director Chair Todd? Okay.
Yeah, thanks. I was City Council from 2005 until 2020, and then I switched to staff, and so I'm the Director of the Public Works and Development Services Group here at the City. I've lived in Mill Creek for 39 years, just a little longer than it's been a city. So I'm the old guy around here, I guess. So I love this place and really enjoy providing background and help to the staff here.
And then we have Interim Planning Manager White, if you'll introduce yourself, and thank you so much again for stepping in.
Of course. So Commissioner Abrams, the longstanding planning manager, retired a couple of months ago, Tom Rogers. So I'm filling in. I've been a planner in Washington State for over 20 years. I'm a Mill Creek resident and help stem the tide until the city can find their next great director. So during this time period, we want to make sure that we're engaging with the Planning Commission, keeping things moving, working on a number of code and policy issues, and look forward to providing you a briefing tonight. But you've got a great team here at the city, and you'll be interacting with myself, and then of course Justin and Sybil, who will be introducing themselves.
Next on our list is Mr. Horn, Associate Planner.
Yeah, I'm an Associate Planner. I've worked the city for 13 months now, and I'm now, besides Mike, the most senior person in the department. But I'm glad to be here, enjoying working here in Mill Creek.
Thank you. And last but certainly not least, Ms. Tetia.
Hi, I'm Sybil Tete. I'm the residence liaison to the Planning Commission. So most of the emails will be coming from me or Clay. I've been with the Mill Creek for 5 months now. That's about it.
And you have a long point. You were a long-term planner on the East Coast, if I remember correctly.
Yes. So I've planned in different municipalities for the past 9 years now. Washington is totally different, so it's like I just got out of grad school and started this all over again, but it's been great so far.
Well, thank you all for the and welcome, Alan.
Thank you.
And with that, we go on to our work session. Item B, introduction to the 2024 comprehensive plan update. Again, I believe Clay here.
Yeah, well, happy to be here tonight to just, I think we can think about this as more of like a conversation about your upcoming comprehensive plan update. So the thing that as we kind of go through some of the background state law requirements that kind of guide growth in the state, at both the state, the regional, and kind of the countywide level, and then kind of how it impacts the city. I just want to make sure everyone understands it's okay if this is confusing a little bit. in it, because this is really complicated. And so if you think about one of the goals tonight, it's that we should be having a staff a lot of touch-ins with you leading up to this big process you're going to be going through. And the more times we talk about things, the more they're going to make sense and click, and you can kind of make those connections about how things fit together. And so think about this as being that opening conversation, because if I read the tea leaves right, I know that Commissioner Nolan was here the last time the city updated the comprehensive plan. And then I know Commissioner Hamilton has worked during the county comprehensive plan, but are there any other commissioners that were here during the last update? I don't think so. Okay, so this is new, and there's so many moving parts, and just so it's okay to ask questions, stop me anytime you want to. But hopefully tonight just provides you some ground level knowledge, and that you start to feel more comfortable with information. Then the next time you hear it, it'll be the second time. The next time after that, it'll be the third. And hopefully by the time we really ramp up the comprehensive plan process, you're going to be able to feel just really comfortable with the information and know what questions to ask so that you can make informed recommendations to the city council. Because in the end, that's what we're really looking for, is for all of you to be able to work really closely together on this. So with that, share my screen and start going through some slides. And again, if you have questions, let's just stop anytime that you'd like. Just gonna do a couple things here.
So Clay, will this show us the date we have to be done by January of 24 or December of 2024?
It's gonna be, state law changed last session, so you actually have till December of 2024. It was gonna be June 30th. And
okay,
you have an extra 6 months. Maybe you won't need it. We'll see. We'll get a work program together, and then we'll see if we can get through it a little bit faster.
Okay. Thank you.
So just a few goals for our presentation tonight. I'd like to just provide you an overview of state, regional, and local planning requirements, which will help inform your comprehensive plan update. And the kind of the outline that you see on the screen is kind of that everything that you do at the city level is related to things that are kind of up the food chain a little bit. So you have state law requirements called the Growth Management Act that really guide how you're planning for growth on a number of fronts. And we'll talk about that. Within the King, Pierce, Snohomish, and Kitsap counties, you have additional requirements as part of being part of Puget Sound Regional Council. So not only do you have a plan that is complying with state law, but you also have regional policies and plans that you're implementing as well. So it adds a whole host of other requirements. And really the focus at the regional level is, you know, that growth and transportation issues and a whole, you know, economic development that you're going to get to the place you're going if you're planning together at the regional level. So if Snohomish County is doing different things than King County, if you're not talking to each other, how do you get to the place that you're wanting to be? So you have countywide planning policies, which are policies, shared policies between Snohomish County and the cities within the county. And those policies kind of help you plan together for things like transportation, housing, and countywide planning policies also implement regional and state law requirements. So as you move down the line, you're implementing as you go. And of course, then you get to your own comprehensive plan. And of course, the end result of policies is regulation. So, you know, one thing to be thinking about is when you're writing policies is how will those be implemented? Because a policy statement is just a statement. It's what you do with it at the end. So it's always nice to be looking at things through those lens. I hope that all of you are, you know, can just get briefed on the key issues and topics which may be important during the update. I don't think we know all of those things yet. I can probably highlight some things that'll probably be things you'll be talking about. And then, of course, we'll just be having Q&A throughout the process tonight. So let's just start with the Growth Management Act. Probably heard of it, but let's dive into it a little bit. So the Growth Management Act was enacted in 1990, and the law really stemmed from a time where the region was growing and people were worried quite a bit about sprawl and the impacts of growth on our farms and forests and rural lands. And so growth management came to be, and it provides a framework for state, regional, county, and local planning. And it really focused more requirements on faster growing cities and counties. So if you took a look at a map, you would see that the Department of Commerce administers, you would see that there's different planning requirements for Snohomish County and the cities within Snohomish County than Whitman County. And so there's kind of different levels or flavors of growth management. Those within King Pierce and Snohomish and Kitsap counties have the most planning requirements. And there's reasons for that. Obviously, this is our fastest growing region. Comprehensive plans are updated every 10 years. This has been a moving target. So it was 10 years originally in the Growth Management Act. It changed to 8. It's now back to 10 with a bill that just passed this last legislative session. And the update deadline is December of 2024. So typically it would have been due in June 30th. The bill passed last session, House Bill 1241, that provided you an extra 6 months. And that's because there's a bunch of new requirements. We'll give you some more time to be able to implement those in your local plans. Now, one thing to be thinking about is that growth management was originally structured as being a bottoms-up process. So what that really means is that you have state laws and regional policies which provide you some structure. I mean, there's things that you have to do and look at and plan for, but it's not meant to be in a way that takes away your ability to preserve your community character or grow in the way in which you want to grow. So as you can imagine, as we add 1.8 million people to our 4-county region by 2050, it kind of comes as a rub between, we're containing growth within a small area. We're trying to make sure that cities still have and counties can plan in the way they want to plan. But we're also dealing with a lot of people that are moving to our region. So we have a lot of challenges ahead. But I think that what's neat about planning is you're proactively looking at issues before they occur, thinking about the future, and then you're trying to have everything in place at the time in which you'll need it. So you may not get all the gold medals, but if you do your planning right, then things like infrastructure and roads and all the things you need to grow properly are going to be there at the time in which we need them. And that's what your comprehensive plan lays out. The Growth Management Act, you've got 14 planning goals, and they cover things like concentrating growth within urban areas, reducing sprawl. So that really means that almost all of our growth happens within existing cities and in urban growth areas. We don't continue to grow within our rural areas as much. That we focus on regional transportation and affordable housing and economic development. So these are just goals, and the legislature also is intentional about preserving property rights. So making sure that you've got a nexus between policies and regulations you put in and they're proportional to the impacts you're exacting on people when you're doing things like putting in zoning regulations. Open space and recreation, environmental protections, so things like critical areas regulations and stormwater requirements. And then there's also a huge focus in growth management to have early and continuous participation as plans are updated. So that means that's coming to the Planning Commission, engaging with communities. And so one thing as you're updating your plan is you'll want to think about, how are we connecting with our community so that their voice is heard as part of the process. And, a lot of times people are coming to the hearing when they're not happy about what their neighbor is doing. But they're not there when the policy is created that allowed them to do it. And so, this isn't the funnest stuff at this level, but it's probably worthy to come up with a good community engagement strategy. So, especially hearing from voices that are often impacted by land use, things that we do at the city level, but their voices are often not heard, so that you've got people that are always at the table, but there's, but what the actions that you're taking make a big difference. And so you'll want to be thinking about that.
Excuse me, Clay.
Yes.
Will you be sending this on to all of us, this presentation?
Oh, absolutely. We can do that.
Great.
We'll post it on the website as well.
Okay.
And then, so you have 14 goals, but a goal is just a goal. It doesn't do anything unless you implement it, right? So all of the goals are implemented in different ways. Some are implemented through the Growth Management Act. Some are implemented through different statutes. So there's a GMA goal about processing permit applications in a timely manner. There's a different statute that is set up that talks about how long it should take to process permit applications. But many are implemented through the Growth Management Act, and it's implemented through elements of your comprehensive plan. So, and that would be elements like land use, which is where you're planning for population and employment. So figuring out how many people are moving to our community, or how many people do we have to plan for, and also jobs to make sure that we have things like jobs, housing, balance. Housing. There was a state law change to housing element requirements this past session. It's called House Bill 1220. There is a lot more that you have to look at for housing. So it's getting much more specific about not just planning for like a variety of housing types, but it's also getting more specific at the state level about looking at, you know, providing housing for different income bands. And things like looking at displacement and a lot of other factors. So there's going to be guidance coming out from the state on how that's going to be implemented, but you're not only going to need to at least look at your growth target, but you're also going to look at how you're going to accommodate a variety of housing types. And that's a difficult issue because, you know, there isn't like this fair share process where, you know, you take a certain percentage of housing, different housing types, depending on what your population is. It's much more complicated than that. The city will just have to come up with a strategy of how you work through the changes in state laws and show your work. But you already have a lot of different housing types and still being built. So I think you're well on your way, but there are new requirements. Looking at capital facilities and utilities. So you always wanna make sure you have the infrastructure there when development is coming, water and sewer, power, schools, all of those things. So you have a plan in your comprehensive plan that looks at what do we need to meet growth that's going to occur, and you know, when do we need it, how much is it going to cost, and you develop things like levels of service to make sure that when development occurs that it's not bringing development below certain levels of service unless you're taking mitigation measures to fix problems. So you'll have that, and then of course transportation. There's a number of optional elements in the Growth Management Act. Some communities implement them, some don't. It gives you a lot of leeway to plan in the way in which you'd like to. So this isn't a new plan you're writing. This is an update to a plan. Now, there isn't much we do anymore that isn't uncomplicated. So when I say you're just updating something, I wish it was a 2-month exercise, but unfortunately, things continue to get more and more complicated. But you're really looking at under the Growth Management Act, you're updating your policies and regulations consistent with newer revised regional policies. Sometimes there's case law that changes what you have to do, or there may be statutory changes. So any laws that have changed in growth management, other statutes that impact your planning that have happened since the last update in 2015, well, you got to make those changes to. So like the housing bill I just talked about, this would be the update where you have to show that you're updating your plans appropriately. And then updating critical areas regulations and utilizing best available science in doing so. So here's your home run already. You've just updated your critical areas regulations. And we're working with ESA, your consultant, to get a letter into the record that just shows that the update itself utilized best available science and meets the ecology standards. So you shouldn't have to open that back up as part of your update. So you can say that you've already started your update, which is great. So that's really good. And then of course the big piece is you're planning for growth. So, and your plan is a 20-year plan. So when your next outlook is gonna be looking from 2024 to 2044, and that's a big planning horizon. And I'll show this more than once, but this just kind of shows that, you know, your comprehensive plan process there's a series of actions that lead you to your update. And I think, you know, one of the things that I always recommend to communities I work with is, you know, if you just start at your comp plan update, there's a lot of things that are fixed around you that you're going to have to do. You're going to have to consider or work through because decisions are made at the countywide level, at the regional level and the state level. And so by the time you get to your planning process, while it's still a bottoms up process, you know, you're going to have a lot of things to be looking at that are kind of you know, have already been adopted at those different levels. So this just kind of shows some of the work that's already been done. The regional level, they've adopted Vision 2050, which is the regional policies. We're going to talk about those in a minute. There's been countywide planning policies adopted. There's been some initial growth targets that you're going to have to consider that are in your countywide planning policies. And then a report's been issued called Buildable Land. So this work, it's kind of funny, you know, you updated your plan in 2015 and the work to begin to update it again, you know, you can kind of see it starts like a year after you start your last plan. So, you know, you're planning for 20 years, but you're updating your plan every 10 years. So we always find things to study as planners.
So Clay?
Yes.
These countywide plan, the things that feed us, is there a general agreement amongst all of the stakeholders here that they will be done on time so we can get started in earnest in mid-22?
Yeah, I think what we're going to get to is talk a little bit about the schedule, but I would anticipate that you'd be starting this process at the beginning of next year.
Okay.
So, you know, I think part of it is getting the budget to be able to start the work. There's some state grants and things that are coming. And, you know, I think that it's also important to hopefully get your new director on board, get a work program in place, and just start lining out kind of your tasks. But again, you're already starting your update in some senses because you've done your critical areas and we're talking about it tonight. So, I mean, I think that you can already say, you know, I would suggest we just maybe have a couple more conversations this year on specific issues that you're interested in and just keep the conversation going so that you get very comfortable with the topics.
Well, yeah, I have a question too.
Sure.
Could you go back to that slide? Who comprises the Snohomish County tomorrow? Are those planners in the Snohomish County?
Yeah, that's actually made up of the county and the cities. So Mill Creek is a part of that. They have different committees that work on different issues. So there's planners groups, there's city managers, there's public works groups. And really the process for countywide planning policies is they are updated to implement changes in state law and regional policy. So the countywide planning policies implement regional policies in Vision 2050. And the planners work on them, and then it gets sent to the elected officials. And so there's representatives from every city and the county, and then they make a recommendation to the county council who adopts them. And the CPPs, which they're called, you know, contain policies. They also contain initial growth targets. So basically there's some agreement on at least initial targets that each city and the county are going to plan for as part of their updates. You're not obligated to ultimately adopt them. But again, if you don't have some initial growth targets in the countywide planning policies, you wouldn't have any idea if together you're all going to add up to 100% of what you should be planning for as a county and a cities, right? So there's a process if somebody goes in a different direction called reconciliation, but it really kind of gives you some guidance so that we're, you know, you're all heading in the same direction. So
great. I'm kind of curious who is on in the Mill Creek staff, who is on the Snohomish County Cap tomorrow?
It's Mayor Holtzclaw right now.
Holtzclaw, okay.
Great. And you've had different representatives over time. But yes, so he's on the steering committee.
Thank you.
So now we kind of move to regional planning, and this is the Puget Sound Regional Council, and we'll talk about that. So think about it like the way this graphic is set up is it kind of shows us there's the Growth Management Act, and then it's the next level down is the Puget Sound Regional Council. But keep in mind that they're kind of independent too. They have different focuses, but you know, most of the things that happen in the region level are consistent with our state laws, so they're there. But PSRC is a different organization that has different goals, and the requirements that you have to meet as a city is you have to meet two sets of requirements. And most of the time they're going in the same direction. Sometimes it gets a little confusing, and we'll talk about that. So a little bit about PSRC. It's a regional transportation and planning organization. It's made up of Snohomish, King, Pierce, and Kitsap counties and the cities within those counties. And so you have representatives that there's 22 committees at PSRC made up of their staff, electeds, and a lot of important decisions are made there. But it's also extremely complicated. And I know that Mr. Todd could share stories because he's been there, but one of the struggles I know that jurisdictions have is, you know, so a lot of the things that you have to do at a city are informed by what happens at the regional level. But for you to stay in tune at that regional level is a full, could be a full-time job. And there's a lot of politics that go around decisions that you know, that have to be implemented region-wide. So, so I won't get into the politics, but there's a bit, it's a lot. It's a lot to manage. And, you have some electeds that are elected and they're paid positions and it's a full-time job, but you have most that it's a volunteer job or very low paying, but if you're not at the table, a lot of things happen. You actually are represented very well. Some jurisdictions don't get to go to the meetings at all, but yet they have to live with some of the consequences of them. And some are good and some might be perceived as not so good. PSRC, one of the main functions is they are passed through for federal transportation dollars. So I think they do about $240 million of transportation funding. So this is kind of where you get to the nexus, is where you have to be consistent with the Growth Management Act. That's your state law. If you get challenged, you go through appeals, you know, lots of things can happen if you're not, just like any other law, if you're not, you know, following through. Really, what for PSRC, you have to be consistent with the regional, and it's a different standard. And once you adopt your comprehensive plan, it also goes to PSRC where it gets reviewed by the elected officials, and your plan gets certified. If you just said, hey, we're not doing anything, any of this stuff, and you didn't get certified, then you wouldn't be eligible for these transportation dollars. If you said, I'm not doing our plan update, then there would be different consequences at the state level. So it might be like not getting your gas tax. That would be the most extreme, or you might get sanctions and things from the governor. So there's a long line of things that happen before that would happen, but just kind of think they're kind of two pieces. PSRC does regional transportation planning, and they look at things like improving mobility and transportation choices. And if you think about it, the car doesn't know when it crosses the county line. So there's a lot of good things that would go into planning at a regional level. And so if you have a regional plan that kind of is looking at these issues, a lot of good things happen that might not otherwise. They also look at economic development. So there's a lot of strategies there. They have a lot of data. So it's a wealth of information there. And then of course, planning, they help develop policies about regional growth. And there's a big connection between planning and transportation. So, as we grow, if we have water on one side and mountains on the other, and we're going to contain all the people that are moving here within the same geographical area, then you better be thinking about where's your transportation network and where are people moving in relation to that transportation network. And so there's a huge connection between where we plan for people and where we're planning for transportation. That's a pretty big nexus there.
Clay?
Yes.
Can you elaborate? Does the PSRC, do they have any involvement with Sound Transit and Community Transit? Do they have a role with them?
I don't know what the role would be, but they're certainly connected. Those plans are connected into the regional transportation plan. So we're talking about Vision 2050, which is the planning document, but there's Transportation 2050 too. And so all of those plans are brought together into a regional transportation process. So, and then planning and transportation are integrated together to hopefully get people moving near transportation or jobs, and just trying to improve things like freight mobility and everything else.
Okay.
So Vision 2050, multi-county planning policies, and the regional growth strategy guide how the four county region goes. So you've got the two pieces, you've got a set of policies, and then you've got a vision outlines. It refines further what the Growth Management Act says about where people should move. So if you are not in the Puget Sound Regional Council area, then you would get a county and its cities would get a growth target, like, hey, here, OF, Office of Financial Management would say, here's a projection of people that are going to move to your county in the next 20 years. They give you a low, medium, and high projection. You'd probably pick the medium. That's what you usually do. But then you could distribute that however you want it to. You kind of work with your county and cities and say, I'll plan for 15,000 people and you plan for 4. There wouldn't be anything else that would give you direction beyond that. You're focusing growth in urban areas, but it doesn't say they have to move to Mill Creek or Linwood or Everett. So it gets much more granular when you get in the 4-county region. The multi-county planning policies and regional growth strategy are implemented through countywide planning policies. We talked about that. So whatever happens at the region level, then it goes into countywide planning policies. So hopefully that connection in your kind of brain is kind of coming together. And then you get to comprehensive plans and development regulations. So there's this big connection all the way down. So vision is focused on, planning for growth in the 4-county region. I think I mentioned this before, but by 2050, you're projecting 1.6 million more people and 1.2 million more jobs. That's between 2017 and 2050. So some of that growth has already occurred, but that's a lot of people. We've got our work cut out for us. A good portion of that's going to happen in Snohomish County. You're looking at new and revised policies as well. So sometimes they're just updating policies that would be minor, but there's a lot of new pieces in vision focused on things like climate change, equity, displacement, housing. So what Sybil's actually working on right now is doing what's called a gap analysis, where we're taking a look at the current comprehensive plan policies and then the regional and countywide planning policies. And then we can figure out where the gaps are. And then you can kind of figure out during the update where you may need to look at some revised policies. So we're already starting that work in-house to get that done. So last year there was a bill, House Bill 1099, that was a climate change bill that would have required a whole bunch of planning for changes to our climate. That did not pass right at the last minute. Interesting story for another time. But statewide, that adding that goal of climate change into the Growth Management Act's not there. There's some of those planning requirements are not going to be required for your update. I'm sure that bill will come back this next year and most likely pass. But there are climate change policies you have to deal with because you're part of PSRC. So there's policies there which are now in your countywide planning policy. So. Now, does that mean you're changing the way you do business drastically? Maybe, probably not. You're probably doing a lot of things already that are changing the way, that we look at the environment. But you're going to find that there's quite a few changes to your policies where you have to take a look at. So hopefully this graphic you can read, but we talked about how under the Growth Management Act, it would just say, here's a range of people and jobs that we think are moving to your county within the next 20 years. And you would pick within that range, and then you would divide it between all your jurisdictions, right? So you'd sit down at a meeting and planners and elected officials would kind of horse trade this and this and this, and then you'd go do your comprehensive plan. PSRC breaks it down even further. So, it breaks it down into regional geographies to where you're saying, not only are you taking that same amount of growth, but we'd like it to be more focused in certain areas. So for like Snohomish County, your metropolitan city is Everett. So you're focusing a lot of growth in Everett. Your core cities are Linwood and Bothell. And then Mill Creek is a high capacity transit community. So if you look at Snohomish County, 50% of the growth is going to high capacity transit communities, but that's also a very large geographical area, which includes Arlington, the Bothell unincorporated urban growth area, Edmonds, the Everett unincorporated urban growth area, the Linwood unincorporated urban growth area, Marysville, Mill Creek, Mount Lake Terrace, Mukilteo. So there's a lot of communities that go into that. And in fact, there's a large area in unincorporated Snohomish County that kind of traverses throughout the county where a huge amount of people live. And so a lot of this growth is still going to go to those areas that surround cities. But this is kind of how it's doled out. There's cities and towns. And what you're going to see is take a look at your rural growth targets, and you can see that very little growth is now focused on in our rural areas and our agricultural and forest areas. Now, again, there's a difference between setting a growth target and growth that actually occurs. So just keep that in mind. These are growth targets. Now, you know, and I think that's, it's a really important distinction between, you can adopt a numerical number in your plan, but there's a lot of forces that drive growth beyond just putting a policy in your document. You know, I mean, it's market forces drive growth. You know, it could be, are you in a recession in a hot market? It could be, you know, your regulations or things that make it harder or easier to build. So, but this is kind of how it's allocated at a regional level. So you can see there's a lot of growth that's planned for Snohomish County, and it's just allocated different ways. This is employment. So you can see Mill Creek's in the high capacity transit communities. That's about 30% of the jobs going to those communities. And a lot that would be going to Everett and your core cities of Linwood and Bothell. So a lot of growth is really put into those areas, but you know, a significant amount in these high capacity transit communities. And we're gonna get into what the share is for Mill Creek here in a little bit too, so you can kind of see. It'll come after this next set of slides. So that's your region. That's how it's kind of done at the regional level. So you kind of got your marching orders at the countywide level saying, hey, this is the way you'd like to do it. Now, I want to make it clear, this is my perspective, and I, you know, work with the folks at the regional level. You do not have to have a policy for every policy at the countywide or regional level. You don't have to implement it the same way. There's nothing that requires you to do exactly what's adopted in countywide planning policy. But if you, when you're going to do something different, you still have to show that you're consistent, and you have to have a record that substantiates the decisions that you make. So if you plan to go in a different direction or do some different things, you just have to explain the reason why and build up a really good record on that. So that's my only suggestion. So countywide planning policies are part of the Growth Management Act. And it was originally set up to ensure that there's coordination between a county and the cities within the county. And they cover things like transportation, capital facility planning, housing, and growth. So think about it that if everyone just did all of their own planning, every city did their own planning, like how would you get to where you're trying to get to? You know, how would you talk about issues that you have in common, such as transportation? Or how do you know if you'd be planning for all of the types of housing that we need for different people in our community? Well, this is supposed to provide some coordination on those issues. And so they're always updated before you do your comprehensive plan update. And again, this is a process that goes through Snohomish County tomorrow. It's very cooperative. It's a collaborative process. Planners, elected officials who work really hard to put this together. And so that's just been recently adopted. Countywide planning policies kind of have that two pieces to it where it's, you know, they're required to be updated consistent with any changes in state laws. They're also required to be consistent with the multi-county planning policy. So you have a lot of, you know, when those are adopted, you have leeway in there. I always fight for that, that you have choices, but you do have to show how you're consistent with vision. So it's, there isn't like a fine line. I mean, it's really like you're trying to figure out like how do you reach that regional vision but do it in a way that fits your community. So now we're down to your comprehensive plan. So it's been a few years of planning. Things have changed in the Growth Management Act. We have new regional policies that are looking at new issues and planning for more growth, and circumstances have changed. Snohomish County tomorrow has updated countywide planning policies to implement regional and state law changes and also tackle things that are important to Snohomish County. And now it's our comprehensive plan update. So again, you know, we're mid-2022 kind of kicking this off, and we have about 2.5 years to get this done. So we've got our work ahead of us, but it's manageable. The timeline's manageable for you, for sure. So just that general overview, you've got the requirement to meet, you know, regional and state law standards. Growth Management Act requirements are met by updating your comprehensive plan. This includes growth targets and implementing development regulations consistent with state law changes and case law and your best available science, which is done. So you're not only updating your comprehensive plan, but at some point you have to make sure that where you make changes to policies, you have to update plans and programs and regulations so that they're consistent. That's a big piece of comprehensive planning in the Growth Management Act, is that your development regulations have to be consistent with your comprehensive plan. And so, you know, be thinking about that as commissioners, because when you're writing, when you're evaluating policy statements, I always think about, you know, well, what are we going to do with this policy? What does that mean? It doesn't always mean you're enacting a new regulation. It could be that you have a new program that you're enacting, or it could be coordination with other cities, or it could be a whole host of things. But, you know, there are a lot of comprehensive plans that have a lot of policies that you're not, that no one's using, because they sound, it's a lot of words that sound really good, but you don't have a way of actually doing anything with it. So that's a, it's a good lens to be looking at it with as you move forward. And then you have PSRC. I kind of look at it as, you know, you have to review Vision 2050, but really if the countywide planning policies are implementing Vision, then you really are implementing the countywide planning policies, that you should be able to do that and be pretty close. And once you're done with your comprehensive plan, then PSRC is going to certify your plan. So there's an appeal process to the state with the Growth Management Act. There's a certification process through PSRC. Both have very long checklists where you have to say you've done all of the following things, and there's a lot of requirements, and they're a little bit different. So, but that does help kind of navigate. And I think as you get through your process, you'll probably can kind of go through those checklists, can kind of constitute your work program.
Claire, yeah. Before you go on further, do you mind if you go back to that timeline? I had a question. I just want to make sure I read it correctly. Because you initially mentioned, you know, that December 2024 deadline for updating our comprehensive plan. And then I look here and this looks like, is it that 2025? Is it? Oh, I guess that's just the beginning of 2025.
Yes.
Never mind.
Yes.
Never mind. I thought I was reading it at the end of 2025.
No, I'm going to revise that graphic. I've had that question before. So then once you get asked twice, then you know you need to revise your graphic. But yes, so you have until December 31st. And nothing happens on January 1st if you didn't, you know, just at some point, then you could be found non-compliant with GMA and, you know, things start happening, but you've got some grace period there. But I think you should be able to get it done on time. Good question, though. Just a few key issues on your Growth Management Act. There was funding in the state legislature, so you will get some money for the update. Depending on the issues you take on, you know, we'll be evaluating kind of how to get it done within those budgets. But it's comprehensive planning is expensive. Depending on the changes that you make. I don't bring it up to show you the dollar amount. One of the things that's actually nice is I'm working on another project actually for the state, kind of facilitating a task force that's looking at changes to the Growth Management Act. And one of the things that this task force worked on last year was urging the legislature to provide consistent funding for long range planning and for city activities, because there's a lot of unfunded mandates. So I only show this to say, hey, there's $10 million that was put into the budget to help offset some of the costs that come from, you know, mandates that come from the state. And then you're left with all the costs, and it can be very expensive. So that's good. Critical areas complete. We talked about 1220. So there's a bunch of state laws. If you're interested, I have a whole table of state laws that changed last year because we're tracking this for other projects. But 1220 is a big one that amended housing element requirements. And it's much more granular on kind of how you plan for housing. There's also House Bill 1717, which adds new requirements for tribal participation as part of comprehensive plan updates. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to be implemented yet. I have some calls into the state, but there's a bulk of work there. There's some smaller bills. There's a few bills that were very close to passing last year, though, that would have really added to this list that did not pass. I think the way that it was looked at was if something didn't pass this last legislative session, then it shouldn't be expected that you would tackle it as part of this coming up update, because you can't just shift gears so fast. I mean, once you start moving in your update, you can't, it takes a lot to add in new elements or a new policy. So I think what you have now is what you have, and this is what you're going to be keying on.
Hey, Clay?
Yes.
So in terms of the funding, the 125K, is that for Mill Creek alone? And does that cover all staff at Mill Creek? And I'm sure you would have some kind of a lawyer that would review all this.
I mean, it's it can be used for, you know, however you see fit. There's a lot of things like transportation modeling where you're going to have some fixed costs where you're probably going at, you know, you have to figure out what, how much you're doing inside or outside. Do you want to help have some help with community engagement? You actually have a really good, strong communications team here, but that can be something. Or updating your capital facilities plan, you know, sewer water modeling and things. So there's some things that it's not just updating policies. There's a lot of pretty complex stuff that you have to make a decision about how you're going to do it. 125K is probably not getting you through the process, but it substantially helps. And of course, that's broken up over a couple of years too. So, you know, but it's certainly better than the zero that was there for the last update.
Hmm.
So we're heading in the right direction. Okay. So that's a good thing. We've kind of gone through this, but, you know, vision and your countywide planning policies, you're going to, we'll do the gap analysis for you and you'll kind of see what are the big issues, but these are some of the trending topics. And I'm sure that's not a surprise to you if you kind of follow kind of planning that's going on in our region. And then you've got your growth targets. So those are adopted in the countywide planning policies and you've got some growth that's assigned to you. So we'll talk about that. I think we can kind of skip this. So these are your kind of growth targets that you're going to be looking at. So the Mill Creek portion is only 1.3% of the total population that's allocated to Snohomish County. So your 2019 population was about 21,000 and you're going to be planning for about 25,000 people. So you've got about a 4,000 person difference there. And that is looking out to 2044. One of the things that's important is on the timeline graphic, I was showing you the buildable lands report. The buildable lands report helps identify like how much capacity you have for jobs. Like, so if you have a target, you have to create enough capacity to be able to provide that housing or those jobs. So the, in buildable lands report, it found that, you know, you already have capacity for about 1500 people. And so if you deduct that from the 3887, then you really are just planning for about 2,300 people over the next, you know, 20 something years, that you have to create the capacity for that. So does that make sense to everybody? You have enough, you have a target, you have existing capacity, you subtract that out, and then you get, you know, kind of how, you know, what is your capacity deficiency that you would have to plan for?
And Clay, can I ask just a clarification when you say, yeah, you know, existing capacity? By that, do you mean land in Mill Creek that's already zoned for housing and that you can build 1,500 for 1,500 people? Just want to make sure that's what you mean, mm-hmm, by,
yep,
by building capacity. It's already zoned.
Yeah, it means it's already zoned and that it has certain characteristics that it could develop or redevelop over the next 20 years. So, you know, it's a 1 acre lot with a small home on it built in 1950. That may be something that could redevelop into 8 homes. You know, so there's the buildable lands report analyzes and shows properties that are likely to develop or redevelop during that next planning period. Yes, Commissioner Nolan.
We've seen that in the past. I thought it'd be good if you kind of explain a little bit. You mentioned the unincorporated areas and the urban area, and there's obviously the Mill Creek's current boundary. There's our urban growth boundary, and then there's the areas outside that nobody's claimed within the urban, and how that plays into the 2024 or 2044 planning. So
yeah,
Folks understand that it's, you don't annex your way into or out of this issue, right?
No, the unincorporated urban area is part of the planning process for Snohomish County. And so when you saw the high capacity transit communities, a portion of that was those unincorporated urban areas. So they're planning for those areas. And you cannot annex, like you said, Commissioner, you can't annex your way out of this. So if you annexed an area that had capacity, that wouldn't deduct from your total, that would just add to it because there's already growth that's assigned to those areas. So that's why I just wanted to make sure that note's there of, because that's there's always a, well, how could we take this on? And that is not one way that you can, but yes. So a separate planning process, and it's important for the city to be involved at some level when the county's planning, so you can understand, you know, what kind of zoning or land uses that they're planning for those areas, and you're coordinating on things like transportation planning as well.
Thanks.
So Clay, a couple months ago, I think you were on board with this, there was a piece of property along the Bothell Everett Highway up to the entrance to Heatherwood is, and it currently has one house on it, and they were proposing changing the comp plan, I think, to give it the ability to have like 6 units on it. So if we looked at this buildable lands report, would that piece of property be reflected with like 6 units?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So buildable lands report is a report that looks backwards. So it looks at the health of your last comprehensive plan and looks at growth that's occurred and how much capacity that you have. As part of your comprehensive plan, you're gonna do what's called a land capacity analysis. So think of it as bridging the gap between the cutoff date for when they looked at development of the buildable lands report and then what's happened since. And so it'll give you more of, so if you had land use changes or zoning changes that have occurred between those two time periods, you could pick those things up and account for them. So there's some truing up of data, like getting it more current, that has to happen as part of the update. And so that would certainly occur because like some, I don't know on buildable lands with like how much of the farm was picked up as part of buildable lands. If it was, I'm pretty sure that it was, but if it wasn't, then of course, then that's a lot of capacity there that's already been used. And so it would change the numbers a little bit more. This is employment. So for employment, you know, your difference between your 2024 growth target and your 2019 jobs is only about 736. And you actually have capacity for 858. So you actually have enough capacity that you don't necessarily have to make land use changes as part of the comp plan update to meet that goal. Now, I mean, I'd encourage you, if you're taking a look at housing, you should be looking at jobs. I mean, I think those are good things you should be looking at together. You can't get the people to the businesses if you don't have the people, you know, people coming to there. So, but, and, you know, these aren't hard caps. Those are, I mean, I look at them as being kind of your baseline. So, you know, reasonably, you may end up adopting the target that's slightly higher than that. You just have to kind of see how things shake out. And of course, like Commissioner Hamilton said, when you kind of do that land capacity analysis, you'll really figure out where you're at and where you need to be. But you're in good shape on the employment side. So for accommodating your growth, especially if you're looking at population, you got to think about like where would you put these people? And I don't know where you're going to end up on this, but at least throwing some of these things out. You know, you just completed the Mill Creek subarea plan and the council evaluated that and said, hey, let's evaluate it as part of the comprehensive plan update. So that would certainly be an option. You know, there was a couple of growth options. One was like a 30% option. We're looking at, you know, redeveloping 30% of the area. The numbers for population match pretty closely to your growth target. So in one way, you could look at adopting that subarea change and you'd be pretty much done. You may make other changes. You know, somebody comes in and wants to change an acre here or change something to, you know, commercial from residential here. So you're going to have some things you're going to look at. But if you didn't look at the Mill Creek subarea plan, for example, then you would be looking at, well, where would you change zoning in other areas of the city to accommodate people? Would this be, you know, allowing triplexes in existing single family neighborhoods, or how would you accommodate that? And I throw that out in jest, but you're going to have to think about what are those broad range of options that you're going to look at. You may do an environmental impact statement as part of your update. And if you do that, you're going to look at like alternatives, kind of like you did in the subarea plan. You know, what if we did nothing? What if we did something? What if we did everything? So you're going to have some options to look at, especially if you do an EIS where you might look at, you know, a no action alternative where nothing changes, or, you know, a adoption of the subarea to accommodate that growth, or a more spread out scenario. And maybe you look at all through that three of those and evaluate them, and that'll help you make your choices as you complete your update. Yeah. Yes.
because there's such very little undeveloped land in Mill Creek, if for example, the city council, some long shot, feels like that he can't accommodate all that population because the streets would be congested with the additional population. Is that violating the GMA?
I don't necessarily think that. I think you'd have to demonstrate in your record how you've come to those conclusions. Now, it could be. I mean, you know, because you have the GMA test. I mean, if somebody challenged your comp plan, then you're going to have to defend that. And then you also have to try to get certification through Puget Sound Regional Council. And if you adopt a target that's different than the countywide planning policies, you have to go back, you have to go through a process called reconciliation, where when everybody gets their comp plans in, you have to reconcile the targets so they end up back at the sum total of what you're planning for. So if you took less, then that means somebody else is taking more. Mm-hmm. So I think the way I'd say it is the easiest way is to adopt a target consistent with what you have in the countywide planning policies. The more challenging way would be to go in a different direction. And again, you're adopting you're providing enough capacity to accommodate that growth. That doesn't necessarily mean that's all going to come. And you also look at it as you're looking at like 2,500 people over 20 years, you know, and really be thinking about what that means. That's, you know, 2,500 people over 20 years, you know, you're thinking that's, you know, not a lot of people that you're planning for. And then you take a look at how many, if you take a look at number of people per household, that's even fewer units. So, you know, I think it's good to look at it in terms of it's a long time out that you're planning for. It's not all going to happen in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So Clay, I was on that Mill Creek sub-area plan for a couple of years. Is its moniker now the Mill Creek sub-area plan?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
Okay. All of our paper, all of it should have been the Mill Creek Boulevard study. And so now it's okay. I just want to make sure we're talking the same thing.
I think it's apples to apples on the terminology, but they may be interchangeable. Yeah, it's officially a sub-area plan.
Okay.
But I think the Boulevard study is the official name of the plan. So you have that right.
Commissioner Paddock, I believe you raised your hand or had a question.
On the kind of going through that reconciliation process and I guess documenting the differential targets if we didn't just adopt what's been handed down, who pays for that?
I think it's just a process that goes through Snohomish County tomorrow and you pay dues in the Snohomish County tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just gets absorbed into your dues that get paid there. Director. And then it's your staff time that has to go to meetings to help and your mm-hmm. elected officials that have to, you know, argue for whatever you're arguing for or whatever. The last update, we didn't have to do reconciliation. Everything ended up at 100%. So, and which, you know, hopefully you get there again, but if you don't, that's the process.
Director Todd, you've got your hand up.
Yeah, I was going to throw in. So I was serving on Puget Sound Regional Council when the last set of plans came through in 2015. It took them a couple of years to kind of reconcile all those things, but Pierce County had serious problems where their cities and the counties didn't agree with the targets. And so a couple of communities, I think it's Black Diamond, still doesn't have an approved comprehensive plan. So they've taken themselves out of all the funding decisions. I was looking at a packet a couple of months ago, 75 page packet had a whole bunch of legal stuff of them still trying to argue why what they've done was okay. And so you can assume a lot of cost for a small place like Black Diamond. So you don't want to go there. It's not the sanction from the state. It's the hassle factor. And it's the fact you're just taking yourself out of all the funding decisions for transportation dollars, which is Clay pointed out is quite a few dollars each year.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of Black Diamond, they actually accepted way more growth than they were allocated. So
yeah, they were trying to take
the watch. Hundreds of years worth of growth is what.
Yeah. Well, with the new master plan community there. But so I don't want to overplay or underplay any of those issues, but they are big. I mean, and I think, you know, I'd evaluate those, you know, and, you know, off topic a little bit, but just thinking about things regionally too. I mean, you know, you may all think about things a little bit differently, but we do have a lot of people moving here. And at least at the state level, they've made a choice that most people aren't going to be moving to existing rural areas. which means you have to accommodate people within existing urban areas. And so how are you going to make this, how do we make this work? And so, you know, there's a lot of cities that have a huge responsibility to accept growth, and then there's ones that have less. But, you know, thinking about things in totality, I think is a smart thing too, because if, you know, everybody's kind of playing a little part and hopefully we get to that place we want to be.
Can I ask, Clay, Commissioner Gable asked about the money and traffic is always a concern. Can you talk a little bit about how in this long range comprehensive plan, the region looks at transportation and both SOVs and HOV vehicles, so folks understand how that piece is coming along? Obviously, we add more people, there's quote unquote more driving, but not necessarily, and how that plays into this long range plan.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many big pieces to it, and I'm not the best transportation person, but, and I think there's also a lot of disconnects between regional planning and kind of local still, I mean, it's keeping in consideration, but I mean, at the region level, the goal is to focus growth around where you have the transportation to be able to support it the best you can. Traffic's not going to get better. I mean, it's a thing that we have in our community and we're dealing the best we can, but you know, that's why you have Linwood that's got a huge growth target because they're getting light rail and they've got the bus rapid transit, and you have Everett that's taking a lot of growth and Bothell with BRT, and you have, you know, a lot of growth is being focused in areas like Bellevue and Seattle and some of those communities that have the transportation infrastructure. I mean, you have some of the BRT lines that are, you know, you're going to be connected into Linwood there. Your target still remains pretty small. But I mean, really that goal is to focus growth in areas where you have that transportation infrastructure. And that's why at the regional level, they break it down into those regional geographies and then assign growth at a more granular level. I mean, that whole concept is getting growth more around, you know, discouraging it in areas where you have less, ability to get people out of single occupancy vehicles, and, you know, putting people more where you have the ability to get them off the roads and into public transportation.
Thanks.
I think we're getting pretty close to the end here. So yeah, just our next steps, we've got to develop a project schedule and an engagement strategy. So I'm not sure exactly how that's going to roll out, but you know, that'll happen over the next few months. It'd be good to be able to hit the ground running sometime early next year, to develop a work program where you can really take the, you know, how do you get from the place that you start to the place you need to be at the end? Well, if you have a good schedule that talks about the time and tasks, and there's a lot of things that are, you know, one piece is going to be dependent on another piece to get done, you know, your transportation and land use modeling. You can't really run transportation models if you don't know the land use scenarios you're looking at. So there's kind of steps that you need to do. And then of course, work with the Planning Commission and Council to define and refine the scope of work for the project. So Noah will be talking to the Council quite a bit of, to really be defining like, what is the range of things that you're looking at? And, you know, there's cost to that. There's, you know, do you set the bookends really wide? Do you set them very narrow? You know, when you look at SEPA, especially if you do an environmental impact statement, if you call it like the bookends of SEPA. So you have different alternatives you're looking at, and then you can adopt anything that's between the two ends. So, you know, but the wider you set that, there's a lot more you're looking at, it's more complicated. So those will be the next steps of really having those upfront conversations to get the direction. And then, you know, then you can ensure that what you bring back fits that mold. And then there's gonna be a lot of robust conversations.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm trying to see what this might look like. Is the staff going to be coming up with ideas on how they want to modify the planners and how they want to modify the comprehensive plan and update it? Then they'll present those suggestions to the Planning Commission, and we'll make recommendations along with that and send it to the City Council.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to presume what your next director is going to do in working with Director Todd, but typically, I mean, a good way is to scope a project. So you can kind of have a scope and you understand kind of the range of things that you're going to be looking at. Then you can be planning for it and have check-ins along the way. So you're kind of, here's the progress, here's what you're looking at, getting that continuous feedback. for both the public and, you know, appointed elected officials. And then you'll get through that hearing process. So staff and the folks they work with are going to do the work, but it really should always be synced up with the direction that the elected officials want to go. So, you hope you don't go too far down the line, and then that's not where the council wants to see things go and the commission's giving direction. So it should be a process where you're continuing that conversation all along the way. I think that's it. I can take down a deck and stop talking. And so that's hopefully just a little bit of overview of our planning framework and kind of how things work. And it's not a huge deep dive into your plan yet, just kind of high level, because we're not there yet. But hopefully this helped a little bit. And if you have any other questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Very helpful. Thanks.
Yeah.
Any final questions?
I'm going to make a question or more comment. Is anything presentation like this going to go to the city council anytime soon, just to have the discussion about what it means to adopt or not adopt those population growth targets? I think you mentioned that officially the county planning was completed either yesterday or tomorrow.
The targets were adopted a few months ago, the initial targets. But yeah, I have planning on going to council later this month to do a similar briefing and have this initial conversation. And just like the planning commission, there's new council members that haven't gone through this process and our state laws and stuff. So I'll work with Director Todd to get a presentation together so we can be having very similar conversation.
Yeah, and I guess I would actually recommend throw a slide in there that says exactly what it means to not approve a plan that meets the population targets.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big conversation. And it's not just in the city of Mill Creek. These are big conversations that are happening in communities that are all around the city, because planning for growth is frankly really, really hard. It challenges communities. Things are changing. And it's not, I mean, you go everywhere you go, you can think about, this is the same conversation they're having and going to have in Linwood and Mukilteo and Bothell and all of the other communities of how are we going to do this? And I think if we just sometimes admit that this is a hard process, that this isn't just something that should be really easy, then I think that that's where you can go, okay, you know, how do we do this for the best interest of our community? And, you know, how do we work through this stuff? So hopefully it's that kind of process over the next couple of years.
Director Todd.
I was going to mention that Clay and Matt and I have just talked recently about potentially having a joint planning commission council meeting on this same kind of topic as we kick this off probably this fall. Council's got a lot in their play right now. They got a break in August, but this fall when we have a new Tom Rogers replacement and Clay's no longer with us in this capacity, we're blessed to have somebody with his expertise available to kick us off and get us turned the right way. But we may invite him back as a consultant. But it seems to make sense to have you, the planning commission, and the council all working together. So I can picture some joint work sessions that we haven't done for a couple of years. I think that's a good way for us to all get synced up, because we have not done this for 10 years. And I don't think there's any planning, I don't think there's any council members that were here 10 years ago that did the 2015 update. I think they're all retired and gone. So it's new for a lot of us this time around.
Okay, thank you so much, Clay. Very informative. And obviously there'll be questions, but bring those forward at the next meeting, or we can add them to future agenda items. It was just a primer for us, and I think very well done.
Great.
So under our next agenda item would be under our work session is department update, future planning commission agenda items.
Sybil, did you have something before I do the update?
Yeah, I was going to say that if as we go through the process, if the planning commission do have topics or goals, ideas that they want staff to look into, please feel free to let us know, and we will do that together, because it would be great to know what ideas and goals that the Planning Commission would want us to explore, and also the same for City Council and having the community voice in there and tying all those three components together.
Yeah, I've got a question for you. I'm just wondering if, I don't know if we have time, but could you show us how to get access to the comprehensive plan for Mill Creek on the website? I have not been able to find it. That was about 6 months ago I looked.
Yeah. Would it be possible to do it one-on-one after the meeting?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Sure. That's a great idea. Thank you. I'll give you a call.
Okay. Well, I'll just wrap us up really quickly. Just wanted to make sure updating the Planning Commission that the city is still doing a search for a new planning manager. That process is going as those processes go. So I know Director Todd's, there's accepted applications, and hopefully shortly you'll have somebody great on board. And as that happens, you know, I'll always be here for anything else you need to. And my goal, I mean, I have a passion for planning and people, and, you know, I just want to, this is my hometown too. So anything I can do to help in that as that transition occurs, I'll certainly do it. In the meantime, you know, I am working with Sybil and Justin to identify, you know, the code hasn't been updated a ton in recent history. And a lot of times there's things just to clean up, keep current that aren't working well. You know, someone calls and says, hey, I want to do this. And you go like, hey, this doesn't really work great in code. So we're still working to identify some things that we might bring forward as just kind of ongoing code updates that you'd be evaluating. I mean, I think that's important, so you're not doing things all at once. It depends on how fast we can move. We may have a briefing for you next month on something. I do know we're going to have the adoption of the updated stormwater manual that will be coming to you. So there may be a hearing next month on that. We've got some critical deadlines to meet. This is a pretty minor update, but this is our controls on how we administer, you know, when projects come in and how stormwater is controlled within the city. So we're working through that. And then, you know, maybe we'll have a briefing on another set of code changes, but it'll just depend on the speed there. But hopefully throughout the summer, we can continue to just keep moving and get some things on your plate to be evaluating or looking at. That's all I have for you.
Okay, thank you. Any final questions from the commission? Okay, so
we probably have a meeting in July.
Yeah, I think you will on the MPDS on the stormwater regulations. Yes.
Okay.
And did you say August they take a break?
Council takes a break in August.
Does Planning Commission typically do that?
Everything was thrown off with the COVID last year, so
yeah.
We missed a lot of meetings.
I think if we've got work to do, it would be good if people could continue doing it. I know the stormwater thing is vital. We're behind the gun on that one. I don't know if there's other things that are hot, but I think Clay and Sybil and Justin will be looking at what might happen in August. I think it's some of the minor code updates that Clay was talking about. It'd be nice to start working away at some of those.
Sure.
In August, for sure.
Justin and Sybil have a list. And when we talk about things that come up, we go, put it on the list. So we've got a nice list to be working through.
Anything else? Okay, I call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Dave.
Second?
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Our meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much. And we'll stop recording now.
Have a great night.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Clay. Nicely done.
All right.
Thank you.
Welcome, Matt.
If you can hand behind for a minute, I will show you how to get the
comprehensive. Yeah, sure can.